What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday. We got the crew in the studio. We've got Mike, Josh, Jake behind the camera, and appreciate you guys joining us live. We've been trying to do these shows live. Apologize, we're a couple minutes late. We are going to make sure that we're getting better technically on our side, so we are on time every time. And so we're gonna talk about Whiskey Wednesday. You guys know that we talk about hot topics that affect our short-term rental investing journey, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. We've got a few different things. We're going to recap the Airbnb's update, a big update, very much focused on AI. A lot of Airbnb trying to level the playing field for a lot of people and what it means for us as short-term rental investors. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. Mike is on the supply side, on the furniture install side, and he's getting and seeing how the fuel prices are affecting the cost of goods that are coming in and using that we're furnishing these properties and what that is looking like, what kind of increases we're seeing. So you start to bank that into your underwriting and when you're budgeting on these furnishings and setups of these properties. And so we're going to dive right in to first and foremost, Josh, I'm going to start with you on the Airbnb update. So let's, and this was a big update. I've got some different opinions on it. I've got a lot of things going on here that I think are advantages and some disadvantages, but I'm going to let you break it down a little bit and then I'm going to add some, add my opinions on it.
All right, good. So, you know, we went live last week, May 20th, a little bit later on that day, Airbnb had their summer update, right? A lot of this is focused on, a lot of these pieces are focused around AI being the big piece. We covered that a little bit last week. The three main articles I'll source out here, one is from Rental Scale Up. The second one is from TechCrunch. And the third is from The Next Web, all covering relatively the same thing. I'm going to use primarily the Rental Scale Up one just because it goes a little bit deeper and that's kind of more who our audience is. You know, when we say about the AI listing creation, they have a new AI listing creation tool. When you look at the average listing, that's your profile. That's your listing, your photos, all those things. There are those who are like, well, we teach at Vodacy. We're very high level with it, with how we do our, you know, photo organized, our sequencing, to the way that we're going to do our text, the way we use our reviews as currency, all those things. And a lot of what they're doing with AI is going to this regular mom and pop host and saying, hey, here's an easier way to do it. We'll do most of it for you by looking at the address and looking at the photos, and we'll create a lot of the stuff for your core listing for you. Right. Basically, everything that they're doing is helping them convert. Right. Does it help you if you get more bookings? Absolutely, it does. Right. But in the long game, it is to help them convert. Right. It's to help them make more money. That's always going to be the name of the game. Right. So what's still going to separate the pros from the amateurs, right, is just basically from portfolio level merchandising, your deliberate photo curation, or we call it sequencing, and your amenity stacking that's going to match local guest intent. But we're going to go even further. It needs to match your guest, because now two guests looking for the same area, the same dates, they're going to see different properties more than they have in the past. And it's going to be sequenced based upon their search terms, by who they are, and their individual host profile, right? Yeah. And that's a big change from the fact that we just think, oh, I have two reviews as a guest. Well, now those reviews and what those hosts have said about you in Spain, in New York, those are going to affect how you see Airbnb when you go search for a stay based on your dynamic. Another big one that I've been a big fan of, this one, is what they've done with the review process. This has been out for a little bit, in a few months now, but essentially it's no longer defaults to chronological reviews. It goes to what's most relevant, and most relevant to you as the consumer based upon your profile and your search history, right? So in the olden days, right, if you got a negative review or semi-bad review, you would just go get another good five-star review on top of it and slowly bury it down. But now if you have a three-star, four-star review that mentions something, or especially more than one that mentions proximity, or it's hard to get into, or the walls are really thin, any of those things, that's going to show up as your top review by default every single time until the AI feels that problem has been addressed or fixed in some way, shape, or form. And then finally, the last thing is, a lot of things that are starting to add in are certain features such as luggage storage in 15,000 different locations. Car rentals are coming live this summer. We're putting certain boutique hotels into the search algorithms here. This is an additional competition. This isn't necessarily saturation or changing things, but look how like Orbitz used to do. Look how Expedia currently does, to where I'm able to go there and get everything kind of on one stop, and Airbnb is going to be able to kind of police that, kind of market how they want to do it to make their customer happy, and ultimately be able to profit off of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what I read into this and what I see and what I think that I think it was a I actually think it's a brilliant move by Airbnb of what they're doing, because this is, we always say, one of our biggest competitive advantages in the space is that this is a mom and pop business, which means the professional host and the professional operators had it was really easy for us to go in and really differentiate, do things better. And Airbnb started recognizing that, saying, hey, there's a lot of people doing this wrong. And so what they're doing is saying, hey, we're going to make this easier for the average host on our platform to go in and show the consumer what they want. And by the way, you know, one of the biggest complaints we get is communication. We're not even going to let you communicate with your guests anymore. We're going to take all of our AI, and when you have a question about the property, we're going to answer those questions for you, because Airbnb knows that their AI platform is going to naturally do a better job communicating across the board. And so what that does is some of those competitive advantages that we've had with communication and better, you know, better descriptions and better articulation of what we have, all of that stuff, that is not as big of a competitive advantage anymore, because the field has kind of been leveled and saying, Airbnb is saying, hey, listen, we're going to be better at this than most of you. And not necessarily the top host, the professional host, but the bulk of the hosts out there, the 80% of the hosts that are not doing a great job, the mom and pops that don't answer within 24 hours or within 5 minutes, right? They don't give, you know, good descriptions on stuff. How many good properties do we see that we're like, man, this property could be killing it, but they don't even know how to market it. They don't know how to do anything. So what it's going to do is take a lot of these properties and level the playing field. What that also does is commoditize everything. Now, some of those advantages are no longer advantages. Some of those disadvantages are no longer disadvantages, because Airbnb propped up the bulk of these listings, especially on the communication side and the way they're getting articulated. Now, because it commoditizes them, one of the things that AI is going to be very good at as well, in my opinion, is going to be the differentiation. And all of those things that we talk about, the fundamentals that we talk about on the back end of how we create these unique experiences, these immersive experiences, the reviews that people say about our properties, AI is also going to recognize that. And it is going to stand out and help us stand out when we do the right things right and correct, right? So some of the things that we were using as an advantage by just communicating better, by just articulating things better, those are no longer going to be a massive advantage. But what the things that we're really spending the time on and really creating these unique, different experiences, how often do we talk about the consumer wanting something unique and different, right? And so it also said in that update that I was reading is it's looking at the entire offering, not just price. And so as it makes recommendations, it actually said price is not one of the top three things it's even looking at. It's looking at what is the experience you're offering. And price isn't even part of what they're going to say as far as the package, because Airbnb is helping you. They're saying, hey, listen, we're not only going to help you write these listings, put in these data points, and we're going to communicate with the guests. They're going to be your front-end salesperson when you're communicating and asking about properties, but they're also going to say, hey, listen, if you want to compare multiple properties, go ahead, throw them in. We'll compare them and we'll analyze them for you, and we'll tell you which one's the best. At the end of the day, the consumer still has to make the choice, but the exposure that we're going to get by understanding what Airbnb is doing is going to either tank a lot of listings, become commodities for a lot of really good properties that had a good advantage. How many of our good properties that we compete against in the market, they don't really have anything different, but they're really good hosts. Like, they're really good at communicating. And that in and of itself, it's one of the number one things that you get reviewed on is how you communicate with the guests. And well, what if now AI is just, they communicate the same for all of our properties, right? Airbnb is wanting to communicate now with our guests and tell our guests everything about our properties, answer the questions about our properties, all of those different things. Well, that's going to be the same across the board. The consumer is no longer going to be like, man, Josh is way better communicator than Sean is, because especially on the front end, they're taking that off of our shoulders. They're saying, we don't even want you doing it anymore. We want to do it. And so what are the other ways that we can start to differentiate with AI? This is really an exciting time, because what I think it's going to do for us and within our Vodacy community and within other, you know, the professional hosts that really are focusing on creating these unique experiences, these immersive experiences, something that is different, not just a home in a certain proximity. How many times do they talk about the proximity, location, location, location? That's everything in real estate, right? Well, everybody in your direct neighborhood has the same proximity. So you're an AI now is going to be able to, like, all the normal data points are going to become commoditized because AI is going to do a good job of filtering it through and showing it to the consumer. The differentiation is going to come with these unique experiences, these immersive experiences, and giving the consumer something that is different. And AI is also going to be able to highlight that stuff. And I think that's going to be very exciting to see how and in what ways it's able to do that, because, you know, I think the jury's still out on what that looks like, but in my opinion, that's going to be something that gives a massive competitive advantage above and beyond some of the things that we think, you know, in our side are just, you know, that those are that should be the baseline. Good communication, clean properties, those types of things should be the baseline. Well, they're going to make them the baseline, especially on the communication side. And if you have a property that somebody says isn't clean, or there's a lot of road noise, you can't bury those reviews anymore. Reviews are going to be, we've always said, they're the lifeblood of what we do. People want to hear what other people are saying about your property, and you can't just bury a bad review anymore because it's going to be there. It's going to show it. It's not going to chronologically just show these reviews. And so if you get a bad one, you can hurry and bury it and nobody sees it. That's not going to be the case anymore. AI is going to look at it and say, hey, listen, this is a recurring theme, and good or bad, and we're going to highlight the recurring themes that your guests are saying about this property.
I think you had a great point there. You know, when you think of a bell curve, right? And you know that, hey, we want to be on the top end beyond that bell curve, right? We want to be that top end outlier. Those properties aren't going to be affected in a negative way, right? They're still going to be the best properties. They're still the best design. They're still the best managed. They have the best reviews. They have the best offering. The AI is going to know that, right? Yes. What's going to happen, those that are kind of just on the front end or just on the bottom end, they're going to kind of swallow it up, and that middle gets messy. Right. Yeah. So if you're not doing that extra little bit, that's why it's extraordinary. Right. If you're not doing that extra little bit there, you're going to get swallowed up there in the masses. And I think for those properties on the lower end, they're going to see a big bump in a good way. Right. And those on the more on the cusp of the top end, it's time. Where's that missing piece? If we're at 99%, how hard is that last 1% to get? Because I think that's going to be that big differentiator now, future moving forward in these markets.
Yeah, I would say the biggest winners with this update are the lower end properties, the bottom of like that middle of the market, lower end. And the biggest losers are the ones that are kind of squeezing toward the top side of the market with nothing really different, but they've done a good job of getting good exposure, because every one of those is just going to merge together, right? Yeah. They're all going to merge together. The very top of your markets are still going to be different, and AI is actually going to probably add fuel to their fire.
A bad operator is still a bad operator, and you're still not going to win. This isn't a cheat code for you. It's going to actually isolate you further out
you're not going to be able to hide, you know, when you're a bad operator. That shows in the reviews instantly, right? I mean, it's one of the things we talk about. We talk about this on AI and being able to articulate what we have with photos and everything else. The minute you start showing stuff that's actually not there or that is better than it is, like if it's like you want somebody walking and saying, man, this property is better than it looked like in photos, not way worse than it looked like in photos. Right. And so those things are going to get exposed almost instantly also. And which is great. I think that's great. And I think from an Airbnb standpoint, right, this, you know, host might not like this, this type of an update, but for their standpoint, it's great, because they're understanding that the game is run by mom and pop operators in the short-term rental space. They want to control and really be the travel hub, if you will. It's why they're adding hotels, and you, now it's not just short-term rentals. You got hotels in there, you got experiences, you got baggage storage, you got all kinds of stuff in there. They want to be the one-stop shop for the traveler going in on vacation and saying, I only need to go here to get everything I need. All of those hotels in that marketplace now, you know, makes a big difference, not necessarily for the person with the 3, 4, 5 bedroom property, but some of those urban condos, some of those urban apartments that are on Airbnb that are competing directly with hotels, that's going to hurt them on that platform, because now you've got these massive hotel brands on there. They don't compete. Hotels don't compete directly with the bigger properties. I mean, they just don't. It's a completely different travel experience, and you're looking for something different. But they do compete with the small one bedroom condos, townhomes that are, you know, centrally located in urban centers, maybe in some of those resort centers. You might be affected by that a little bit. And so you've got to make sure that you've got, because all these hotel brands have really good amenities. They've got, their resorts, right? Their resort style amenities are, a thing, right? And a lot of those townhomes, condos in those areas do as well, but you got to make sure you highlight that, because now your competition just, your supply in there skyrocketed. The other thing that I think it's going to be very interesting to watch is how does this affect supply? Because anytime the veil of entry goes down and gets thinner, more people want to get into the game. Now, the veil of entry still is buying properties or, controlling or owning properties and get these properties set up. But the veil of entry to get on these platforms now is pretty low because they're just doing everything for you, right? To say, hey, listen, all we need is the photos and we need to know the description. We'll write the description for you. You don't even need the description. We'll do all this for you, right? You just need to put in the data points. And so it'll be interesting to see. I don't think it's going to affect supply too much. I've read a couple articles where their opinion is supply is going to skyrocket. I don't think that's going to be the case, even though the veil of entry on that side of listing it has lowered and gotten thinner. You still have to buy. There's still properties. Real estate's hard to own. It's hard to buy. It takes a lot of money. It's one of the competitive advantages. The capital expenses to get into this game are high, right? And they're even higher if you want to operate at the top of the market. And so I think that creates a little bit of a moat around, especially the top side of the markets.
Yeah. I think, when you look at, you said the urban places with the hotels they're bringing in, right? Essentially, if you are a lower operator and now we're bringing in some boutique hotels that are down the street from you, I mean, boutique rooms that are better than yours, better price than yours, better clean than yours, you're going to have to level up your game to stay competitive, right? Yeah. And those that can't level up the game, you're going to be in a different game very quickly. Right. Yeah. And so I think it's just it's again, that bell curve has gotten wider. But I think those more towards the bottom, you're going to feel a lot worse. And maybe it's time to take a look and say, hey, is this the right business decision? Right. For me to be in the long term game.
Yeah, absolutely. AI is here to stay, guys. I mean, we've talked about now for a few episodes, different aspects of it. Obviously, the big platforms are leaning into it. They're, as far as investors and business owners and everything else, just every average consumers, it's out there. We're no longer, though, in the information age. We're very much in the validation age, right? This the issue that we see as much because when we talk about the veil of entry, you can go tell, Claude or GPT or something to go write your code and give you a new software tool and everything else to spit out. And it does it instantly. You've got an app, a software tool or something almost instantly with the help of AI. The issue is it right? Is it correct? Because garbage in means garbage out. A lot of this stuff looks really, really good on the front end. This wasn't on our topic list, but I had just, and Josh, you were helping us with it, but we have a lot of new products launching inside of our space in short-term rentals with helping with all kinds of stuff, direct bookings, underwriting, analysis, market finding, all this kind of stuff. And it looks amazing. And it really is the easy button. You throw in what you want and it spits out gives you the outputs and it looks great. The issue becomes when you start allowing it to take, your analysis, your underwriting, and everything else. I mean, how many properties did we analyze, Josh? And like 50% of them were close, 50% of them were way off.
We in like 6 minutes, we found a lot. And once we know where every penny is at, and they were way off, right? Way and off. If you're using that as your data tool and you like we did our resort, and I mean, I know that resort. I know everything within that resort, right? And it was way off. So just for that simple piece, and then we looked all over the country, different members, we looked at their properties, and some of the tools that just came out and had a lot of pizzazz and great advertising.
A lot of hype behind them, lots of people using them.
There was some major problems there. And if you're depending on this is a short-term rental, but this is a long-term asset, right? Yes. And if you're letting the easy button determine everything for you and you're not reviewing, you don't understand how to read the data, I think you're going to be in for a really bad experience in this space.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's that's unfortunate because there's a lot of people that really want to do it right. And they're really trying to cross the T's and dot the I's and everything else. And the name of the game with AI is validate, validate, validate. And if you don't know how to validate, find somebody that can help you validate. Because right. At the end of the day, AI can be an amazing tool. We use it all day, every day. We're building tools within Vodacy right as we speak, multiple tools as we speak. And so I'm not saying that we shouldn't use it. I'm saying you need to validate it because we're seeing a lot of stuff launch, a lot of stuff with a lot of hype behind it. And Unfortunately, the accuracy is just not there. And maybe it does a lot of the heavy lifting, but you still have to have the back end knowledge to understand what's correct, what's not correct, and then be able to run with it, because we're writing big checks. I mean, we've got a meeting later today with one of our members that, you know, they're buying a $2 million property, and on paper and on AI and on the analysis, it looks really good. But, you know, when humans look at it and we look at it to validate all of that stuff, you know, Mike was one of them that brought it up, said, guys, we can't do this on this one. This is the budget's here way off. Like, it's like, there's things that you have to validate at the end of the day, that the tools look really good on the front end, and they spit out some amazing charts and graphs and underwriting and everything else. All the numbers are there. The issue is sometimes they miss. And I mean, how often? I mean, I think we've all done it, but like, I'm on ChatGPT and I'll ask it something and I know the answer is wrong. And so I'll say, hey, by the way, I think you know, what are the sources? Have you ever asked the sources, and have you ever realized how often it makes up sources? That these tools actually make up sources. And you'll challenge it and say, that's actually not correct. This is based on my research. Here's what I found. And it'll say, oh, that's a really good catch. I'm glad you noticed that. You know, I missed that one or whatever. What if you don't know that answer is wrong and you go and you're using these answers that they're spitting out? That's one of the biggest fears I have with all this AI stuff is there's a lot of times it's wrong, and you challenge it. And one, sometimes it argues back and says, if it's anything like medical, political, you know, something like that, it will almost argue back with you, based on its bias. The other one is or legal. Sometimes it will just, and I think that I heard that a lot of them are taking medical and legal stuff off because it's given way too much, you know, back and forth information that's really not dialed in. But when you challenge it on something you actually do know about, you'll realize how often these things need to be checked, and you know how great of a time saver it can be. But it usually gets you 80 to 90% there, not 100% there. And go ahead.
You need to understand the foundation, right? Yeah. If you let that build the foundation, and then you stack everything on top of it, and that foundation is cracked or wrong, that whole deck of cards is that whole house of cards is going to fall down quick, right? Like using GPT like live is great. And to your point, like I like to take it and then take a separate canvas or lens and put them against one another, and be like, hey, here's where I'm right, here's where you're right. Let's find what the answer is in between. But to your point, if you don't understand the numbers and you're saying, oh, this tool says, because someone sold it to me, it was on special or whatever it is, and this property is going to go make this. But when you look at the actual data and nowhere around there is hitting anywhere near that number, and you're putting all your eggs in that basket, I can afford this design, I can afford this, I can do that. And then you're $50,000 short year one. How long do you, that's not going to fix itself, right? No. And you let an unreal entity determine your real life decisions. So I think you need to understand the game, at least on the basic level, is your foundational pieces.
Yeah, it scares me a little bit with what I see coming out, based on the testing we've put it through. How often do we love filling out a bunch of spreadsheets? How often do we like downloading data and throwing it into the spreadsheet after spreadsheet to paint the picture of what we're looking at? And then
careful, you're asking Josh that question.
All right. Using our brains to actually say, does this work? Hey, can we do this design wise? Can we do this budget wise? Can we do this? You know, is this actually, what does the comp set look like? All of those things that we actually do. Some of that is, there's an art and a science to underwriting. And the art side is really hard for AI to figure out. The science side, the number side, the data side, it's good. It can read that stuff pretty easy. But like Jake was just pulling up, University of Maryland guide notes that AI can mix truth and fiction, invent sources, and even ignore instructions while sounding very confident. Like gives you the answers like, this is the truth. This is gospel. It references putting hallucinations into like going off the rail and hallucinating 92 to 94% of the time, depending on the test that it was running. I mean, that's a big difference. So when we start relying on that for underwriting our properties and analyzing these properties, when I'm going to be making, you know, a massive investment, you need to understand how to validate that stuff that's coming out of those tools. And I know we got off on a little bit of a tangent. It started off with what Airbnb is doing with AI. Now Airbnb's what they're doing with their AI, I promise you, is not just plugging in a ChatGPT custom GPT on there. They've got some they've probably got some pretty sharp developers making sure that it's working for what they want it to work for. But you know, it's still it's understanding what it can do, what it does, how it thinks, so that we can put ourselves in a position, because we also need to make sure that we don't ignore this and say we need to build these listings so that they are read by, we know they're being read by AI, not humans right now on the front end, especially. We need to make sure we're putting these listings together, understanding who is actually analyzing them, which is AI at the front end, and AI is recommending them to the humans, and the humans don't come in until the second or third step sometimes. And so we have to understand that, we can't ignore that. So don't hear me saying that we don't like AI. I mean, I think that, you know, we're using it all day, every day. We've invested a ton here at Vodacy to build tools and streamline processes with AI. And I'm just saying, with everything that's coming out and as fast as it's coming out, as easy as it is to put stuff out, you can go put a product out pretty fast, and you need to validate it. You just need to really look at, because there's a lot of very reputable, in my opinion, people putting out products that are not as validated as what I would like to see, especially when it comes to underwriting these properties. So just take that for what it is. And validate it. Could still be a massive tool for you in your tool chest. The ones that you still need to validate could still be a massive time savings. It could do 80-90% of the heavy lifting for you. I'm not saying they're not good tools. I'm saying don't rely on them 100%, because we've seen just from our testing on them that there's cracks in it, and you need to make sure that you understand where and how to find it. If you don't know how to do that, find somebody that can. So,
well, Sean, one thing I would add to that, from a design perspective, is one of my sons is really into video game testing, and when you're building a video game, you're designing something, you're creating an emotional interaction, an emotional experience, and I was having a conversation with someone, and I said, isn't that interesting that shouldn't we be at a place where like the AI can look at a game and look at all the variables and come up with these? Oh, yes. Phenomenal at creating tools of advancing the creation of something. But the problem with the AI is it can't tell you, is it fun? Yeah. Right? It's like, great. It checked all the boxes, all the outcomes and the directions and the graphics and everything is there, but is it fun? Right.
Yeah.
And, you had brought up that there's a property that we're talking about where it checked all the boxes. The location is perfect. The number of rooms is there. The number, all the metrics are there. Everything's right. But is it the vibe that we're going for that's going to pencil out to actually generating the results that we're looking for, right? And that's something where I too, you know, we're playing with Meta glasses right now because we're about to start doing a whole bunch of videos from a first person perspective on helping DIY installers get everything right in their house. And we looked at a juicer, and we knew it was a juicer, and we're like, hey Meta, what am I looking at? And it's like, oh, you're looking at a so-and-so deli slicer. And I was like, no, I'm not. Meta, reassess what I'm looking at. It's like, it's definitely a deli slicer. I'm like, no, Meta, it is definitely a juicer. And it was like, I don't know. And I was like, no, it is a, so it's like, you know what? You're right. It is a juicer. I'm so sorry. I'm so glad you pointed that out. And it was, like you said, with extraordinary confidence telling me exactly what it was while I'm standing there reading and lowing exactly that it's not there. So it's definitely not perfect. And one of the things that I think that the Vodacy design algorithm has, I wouldn't say we've accidentally backed into this, because we've intentionally been trying to make the designs experiential and focused on the top attractions of a destination by not just telling a story of a random beach or a random lake or a random house in the woods, or heck, even just not even telling the story of the location at all in probably 80% of properties. But when that AI is looking at the algorithm and people are saying, I want to be where the beach is or close to X attraction, or I want to be able to get to this, this, and this within walking distance. Or the thing is, if your pictures are resonating back all of these attractions, if your descriptions are, we're correctly talking about our distance to locations and where we are, and we're strategically plugging the top attractions in both text in the listing, text in the captions, the actual iconography in the photography that's in there. When that thing is scraping it for the wants of the guest, aside from core amenities like pools, hot tubs, bathrooms, bedrooms, whatnot, it's seeing in the listing the different icons or attractions or destinations that people are saying they want to be around or nearby, helping to push that to the top. And then on top of that, when the review currency comes in saying this place was too good to be true, pictures don't do it justice, it really is blah, 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 blah. As that algorithm starts to learn, just like it's saying, you know what, you're right, it is a juicer. As that algorithm starts to learn, you know what, we've noticed a correlation between the text here, the picture here, the reviews here, all adding up to a booking. It's going to keep pushing that trifecta of relatability, because when you have a free text box where you can just, I think people's searches are going to change. I want to see a set of listings that are too, that people said they were too good to be true, or the pictures didn't do like weird things that you would have never searched for before, you know. Yeah. I think it's going to shape the way that we promote people to answer reviews. You know, there's so much to be done here, but your point is very well made. We have to be designing the listing to the tiers of analysis before it even gets to the human, where emotion is now a driving factor. We've got to figure out how to create emotion when it gets to the human while still creating the hot points that get it on the plate to be tasted in the first place. And it's a brave new world, but I definitely think the Vodacy design algorithm has been gearing up and momenting to this exact thing. I'm honestly excited about it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that consumer behavior is, we buy emotionally, we justify logically, right? And so we've always been able to lead with the emotional side of the consumer. How often do I say, listen, nobody's reading your description. You need to have the description. We still write good descriptions. We still want to do this because we know that the algorithm has, AI didn't come yesterday. We've been talking about this for a little while. We know that the AI is kind of reading it and understanding what they're looking for, but people don't even read the description or the details until they're ready to buy. And they've already made the buying decision. And they make the decision emotionally. That's just consumer behavior. That's how we are as humans. We're like, hey, listen, I like this. I'm emotionally attracted to this purchase. And then I need to justify it logically. So now I'm going to go read the description, make sure it's got the things I need. And then I'm, you know, it's checking the boxes, if you will. I'm just trying to justify my decision because I've already made the decision to buy. That's why we invest so much in this, like you said, this immersive design, but also how we articulate it with these photo shoots, with these lifestyle photo shoots, because we want to appeal to the emotional side of the consumer. We almost have to now appeal to the logical side first and foremost, because the AI is very much logical, right? The AI is going to be very logical and try to build in, like, AI is not emotional, right? It's not going to be like that's the piece that's missing from a lot of the AI, you know, analysis, is the emotional side of it. It's very logical. So we've got to make sure that we don't ignore that. And if we are guilty of anything from our side, is we probably ignore the logical side more often than not, if we're going to ignore something, because we know that we've got them hooked emotionally from the very beginning. I can't ignore that anymore. I've got to make sure that, and I understand that both are very, very important. And the emotional side for the consumer, even though it's the first time the consumer's kind of going to see it, they're still going to make their decisions emotionally, justify logically. AI is going to put it in front of them logically based on what they think they're searching for, right? And so I think that there is a little bit of a shift there, even from some of us at the very top of the market. So next topic, moving on. The we're seeing a crunch on, well, obviously we're feeling in gas prices, airline prices, all that stuff that we're feeling right now going into the summertime, the busy travel season. That's when we're going to start to really notice some of those big spikes in energy cost and oil cost. But it's affecting a lot more than that right now. It's been going on long enough that, you know, apples at the grocery store are more expensive. A lot of consumer goods are more expensive, not because it costs more to grow an apple or not because it costs more to build furniture. It's because it costs a lot more to get it to us. And everything's, you know, traveling with diesel trucks on the freeways, and that has skyrocketed. And so we're seeing a decent increase in consumer goods. And Mike, you're seeing it. You're getting letters from a lot of our vendors. And a lot of us right now are in the acquisition phase. We're buying properties, we're furnishing properties. What kind of an increase are we seeing when it comes to kind of the furnishings and the goods? Are they giving you like a percentage type of an increase, or are they just giving you some warnings? What are you seeing from the supply side?
Yeah, so I get these from different furniture vendors every single day. And I've just got a random one pulled up from a random company. It's short and sweet. I'll read it to you. It says, dear blank company business partners, the home furnishings industry continues to face significant challenges from rising raw material costs, freight increases, and higher fuel expenses. In recent weeks, many furniture wholesalers across the industry have already implemented price increases anywhere from 2% to 8%. In particular, upholstery and mattress categories have been heavily impacted due to rising oil prices and ongoing geopolitical conditions, which continue to affect the cost of foam, fabric, transportation, and other petroleum-based materials required to create these products. At our company, we have worked hard to delay any pricing adjustments for as long as possible in an effort to support our dealers and minimize disruption. However, due to continued pressure, modest price adjustments on upholstery and mattress items may soon become necessary inside of that same percentage range. We anticipate on average 5%. We're continuing to closely monitor the situation and provide updates as soon as possible. At this time, our current pricing remains in effect. However, price increases will be on the way if current conditions do not change. So that's kind of what like the forewarning email looks like before the email that says we've upped our prices by 5% to 8%, you know? So that I think 5% to 8% is really kind of what we're seeing across the boards. And it's one of those things, like even when like the tariffs, for example, all went in, everything coming in from China, it's like, oh, we've got to up our, we've absorbed a lot of it, but we're upping our prices by 7 to 15% like at that time. And what's interesting is that even when the market conditions subside, once that price increase comes in, it's not like they go back and go, hey, great news, we're lowering our prices back down 8% because we don't have to have them raised anymore. Like once they go up, they go up. And, you know, we joke about it sometimes that it feels really artificial, like, oh, great, everyone has a reason now to up the prices. And we're, you know, we're just having to deal with it, you know? But when you see this kind of sustaining geopolitical issue, like oil and things like that, if it doesn't get resolved within 3 to 6 months and go back to normalization prior to that event, expect everything to go up by 5%. I mean, it just does. And don't expect it to go back down after it goes up. It's the new normal now. And I think a very important thing to understand is I don't think people realize how much oil goes into making things like foam that goes inside of sofas, chairs, pillows, throw pillows, sleeping pillows, mattresses are almost all foam now in layers. We've dealt with that on the Vodacy sleep system, but we haven't raised our prices at all. You know, there's a particular material that goes into foam that has to be fluffed from direct oil called polyfoam, and all of this stuff, it all revolves around oil, and it all revolves around oil prices. And when those prices go up and they don't regulate themselves within a period of time, everyone takes that opportunity to raise their prices forever. And that's just the way it is. So if you're right now going out into the furniture world and you're doing your FF&E, furniture, fixtures, equipment for a house, I think you can expect that whatever you penciled, if you started this process a few months ago and you've got a few months to go, add 5 more percent. But that's just to buying it. When you also look at your freight, your delivery costs, every single thing is being hit with what we call fuel surcharges, where mm-hmm. it's just like, hey, we added a $500 fee. And you're like, well, what? Why? I'm like, well, it's a fuel surcharge. You know, and I don't know if their costs actually went up or not, but I can't stop it, you know? That's something we see across the board. Fuel surcharges, higher delivery fees, higher shipping. The other thing I will point out is when fuel costs go up like they are, damage goes up on the freight. Because for example, when we ship our art pallets, they're 4x8 foot pallets that have all these stickers on them that say, do not stack, do not stack. And we pay for priority handling and all this so that it doesn't get stacked. Extra price per square foot, because I'm taking up on a 4x8 pallet, you know, 36 square feet of a truck that they can't go vertical on. And I pay for that. But what happens is they don't care. When the fuel cost goes up, they're like, well, these boxes are light. We'll put the light boxes on top of the do not stack things. And everything gets crammed, whereas before half trucks would go out. Now we're only sending out full trucks, and full trucks, everything's being stacked. The other thing is delays in freight and shipping, because now
we're waiting to fill the truck.
Right. We would have sent a partial truck, but now we're not sending a truck until it's full. So now what would have got there in a week now takes 3 weeks. So you're also going to see that more damages, more delays, higher fuel costs, fuel surcharges, higher costs in anything that has any type of poly, foam, plastic, rubber, you know, all of that comes from petroleum-based things. And when the price of oil is high, all of that goes up. And now that the furniture
market— Mike, Josh?
May have froze up there a little bit.
Yeah.
Did I stall out?
Mike, you lost your permit.
Yeah. Oop, am I back? Okay. So yeah, all these prices go up, and it's going to become the new normal, and expect everything to be a little more expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. They're not going to come down. They never do. We were I'm pretty sure we were right at this fuel cost back in 2022, 2023. We weren't talking about a bunch of price raises because that was kind of the normal. And when they dropped, nobody said, hey, good news, guys, it costs us less to make this stuff and we're going to drop your prices. And I think a lot of, you know, the reality is it does cost more to do all this stuff. The reality is that's the truth. But they don't bring them down when costs are down either. And so you're right. We start to establish a new norm. It's a five. I'm glad to hear that percentage. If you're budgeting, you know, $100,000 on a furnishing and setup, you know, and you got a 5 to 8% premium now that you're going to be paying for these extra, you know, the surcharges on fuel, the extra, you know, the more they're charging on a lot of the products that we're using, like these foam products are very much petroleum based. Like, I mean, we use a lot of pillows, a lot of mattresses, a lot of, you know, a lot of fabrics that are just, they're going to go up. And 5 to 8%, you got to build that into the budget on the front end, really probably moving forward. And that's significant. And so you have to make sure, you know, where you're allocating those funds, you got to be really dialed into what you're able to do and really understanding right now that is probably going to be the new norm. When you start getting those warning letters, they're just softening you up for the, the letter's coming. It's not a maybe we're still going to do it. When that letter goes out, you know the next one's coming, right? It's happening. Yeah. And it's
always cute because they always caveat it like, you know, we're holding out. We're trying to be the one that holds out, and we've kept it real for you, and we appreciate your business during these challenging times. And maybe it doesn't go up, but like without fail, then the next one's coming. You know, like unfortunately, guys, we can't hold out any longer. You know, we've taken it on the chin for you for 9 months, and we just can't do it anymore. It's interesting because every company sends that as if they're the only one, you know, making the argument, but everybody's jumping on board.
When you know it's planned that they set it out on the 27th of May, is it the 27th of June? Right. Yeah. Is it like 30 days on the dot? You know what I mean? 45 on the dot. It's planned. Yeah.
Totally planned. But I remember in COVID, oh my gosh, these letters were coming out all the time and people talking about price increases and this, that, and they all went up and they never went down. 2022, they all went up. They never came down. In 2026, they're all about to go up again and they won't come down.
Well, we'll deal with it. As long as we know on the front end, we can budget for it. It's not a surprise. Right. It's the surprises for the people that are in the middle of it right now. They budgeted something a month ago or, you know, and they're in the middle of the process. They're not quite ordering stuff yet. They're still designing and they're about to order. And it's going to be a little bit different than the budget than they that they laid out. Now, if you're working with us, Vodacy Design, Mike and his team, they're letting you know that on the front end. Hopefully, if you're, you know, if you're not and you're in the middle of it, go ask your vendors and the people you're working with, is that going to be expected? Because a 5 to 8% increase, that money should be allocated to a lot of your furnishings. You can buy a decent amount of artwork and pillows and mattresses with, you know, if I had a $100,000 budget with $5,000 to $8,000, right? And I need to now say, hey, listen, that's just what my other stuff's going to cost me. So my buying power just shrunk a little bit. If you're right in the middle of it, those of you that are going to be in the middle of it, you know, in a month or two, those price increases are already going to be built in. And so you don't have to worry too much about it. So those of you that are in the middle of it right now, Jake, any shout outs? Do we have any shout outs before we wrap up today? Let's pull up our shout outs and see what we've got going. Awesome. Ranjay has got third property there in Pennsylvania, the Poconos. Awesome. We just got this one launched. We'll pull it up. We'll put this in the show notes. Great job, Ranjay. Great backyard. We got the pickleball court going on, the sauna. You got a lot of those great amenities that people love. Beautiful design, congruent design in there. So great job on getting that one launched. Excited. Most of us are going into our peak season right now. We got, the little dome globe out there. Really fun property. Bar inside, game room, hot tub. You got everything. So putting green, little putt out there. So real fun home there in Albrightsville, Pennsylvania, and the Poconos area. Very immersive type of an experience. Good job, Ranjay. Excited for that third one. Getting launched, going into the peak season. It's going to be a great one for you, and sure it is already filling up there. And so we'll keep an eye on that. You guys, we always say success leaves clues. We post these listings in the show notes for a reason for you guys to go check them out. If you're in the area, go check them out, stay in them so you can really see what it's like to stay in a top property. And obviously we want to support our Vodacy family and give those shout outs and the thumbs up when you're going through that process. It's a, you know, I always say the acquisition phase is like a marathon. The setup and design phase is like a sprint, but you hate it for every, those 400 meters are miserable that you're sprinting, but it's short lived, right? And then we're off to the races, and it's really fun to see these properties launch when the money starts coming in, and we get to take a back seat a little bit to all the effort and work that we put in and watch what the kind of the fruits of our labor come back. So congrats on that one. Those of you that took our survey, thank you. We got a lot of really good information, a lot of things that we could do better, things that we can improve on, some things that you like that we're going to start to double down on. And so, Jake, is that survey still out? Is it still posted? Okay, in the show notes. So if you have 30 seconds, 2 minutes, it's not a real long survey, and you have, you know, 2 or 3 minutes to go fill that out, it is very helpful for us. We get a lot of, it's an anonymous one, so you don't got to worry about knowing who's filling it out, but the information you're giving us is very valuable. We're getting a lot of really, really fun stuff. They said that they like to see and hear from Jake a little bit more. So Jake's going to start to have a microphone in front of him. They miss Jake on the podcast from what I read. You know, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the topic. Some of you are saying, hey, listen, I'd like to dive a little bit deeper into him. Sometimes we're hitting him on the surface, but I want to hear a little bit more detailed analysis. I know that a lot of our listeners are in the game operating at a high level. So the kind of the 30,000 foot view is okay, but not really. You want to like dive in. So we're going to start to spend a little bit more time, a little bit more analysis on some of the things. A lot of you want more numbers. And so we have to be very careful about numbers. Just so you know, we intentionally leave numbers off of there because our numbers, and this is going to sound very arrogant when I say this, and I don't mean it that way.
I already know where this is going.
Our numbers are way, way above average. And when that's the case, what happens is the SEC looks at you and says, hey, Sean, you're talking about all these numbers and you're setting an expectation that is unrealistic. And so we actually don't talk about numbers very purposefully on our podcast. One, for rules and regulations, and if what we talked about was very average, it would be easy to put those numbers out. But the SEC, when you start putting kind of what looks to be unrealistic numbers, even though we can validate them, what happens is they say, we get it. Even though you can validate these numbers and these numbers can be, you know, proven, what you're doing is setting the expectation up for the consumer that if they get into this game, this is the kind of money they're going to make. And so that's not the case. And we don't want, so we actually, our marketing department always wants us to put numbers out. They're saying, hey, listen, like Jake's over there shaking his head. He's like, let me post this, right? He's like, I want to put this stuff out there. We don't do that on purpose because one, it looks too good to be true many times. Like we have properties that are like our goal at Vodacy is to operate in the top 1% of these markets. And we do crush the competition with most of our properties that we put out into the market. And so when we start to show you the numbers, like a lot of people show numbers, they look very unrealistic. And even though we can back them all up, we prefer to take the approach of, hey, listen, if we can be really successful without showing the numbers, when you come in and you do this, you're sending us text messages saying, man, I can't believe this is happening. Like I just had a text message yesterday from one of our members that said, brother, you won't even believe this, but I'm putting $25,000 in my pocket every single month on this property. He's like, I can't believe this. I'm so grateful for you guys. I can't believe that this is even like that. This is what I'm talking about at this stage in my life. And super grateful about it. The issue is he's the number one property in his market. It's not an issue. It's what we intend to do. We put you in the 1% where our goal is to put you in the 1% of what it takes to be in the 1% of your market and put unrealistic and unfair share amounts of money into your pocket. But if we start putting that out publicly, all of a sudden we start getting eyeballs on us and regulators saying, hey, you're setting some unrealistic expectations and you got to be really careful about that. And we would rather not deal with those agencies that are three-letter agencies in the U.S. government. And we try to avoid all of them at all costs. And we want to make sure that the compliance department, which is we're overly compliant with all of our stuff. But that actually was one of the biggest feedbacks that we got is, can you please go into more detailed numbers? And there is a reason why we don't do that. A lot of your feedback we're absolutely going to implement. That is one of them that I felt I needed to explain a little bit because there are reasons why we don't do that. Even like on my Experts Corner podcast that I do every Friday, I always tell our members, I say, listen, I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you any numbers. I'm not going to ask you your performance. I won't put you on the spot and do that. You're welcome to share them. But because I don't ask it, a lot of them don't share it and don't say it. They can come out if we're having a conversation, share it. Some of them do. You'll listen to the Experts Corner and you know, I would say half of them still bring up their numbers, and that's great. I actually love when they do. I just don't put them on the spot to do it because I don't want it to seem like I'm teeing them up to set an expectation for listeners that may or may not be a part of Vodacy.
Well, I mean, think about it. This is like, you know, I think it's FCC is the one we've got to be nice for is Federal Communications Commission. But essentially, like, we work really hard. We've dialed this in over a very long time and we bust our butts. If you hear these numbers and you're not willing to come in and put that level of work into it, I don't expect those results.
Exactly. Right. Yep. Which, so I actually kind of agree with the, hey, you're setting the wrong expectation, because what they don't know is, like you've heard me say many times, this is not a game of one silver bullet. It's a game of 1,000 golden BBs. And if you're not willing to go and shoot all 1,000 of those BBs and stack them all up to get, you know, every one of them puts us a little bit closer to our unfair share of business, a little bit closer to our unfair share of business. It's not one thing that's done in this game that solves all of our problems. And if you're not willing, and every time I mention numbers, I don't have the time, or you don't want to hear me talk about the 1,000 things that have to happen to hit those numbers, right? And that can be a little bit misleading. Like, I've never apologized for the amount of work it takes. I've never apologized for taking 45 minutes to underwrite a property instead of plugging it into a tool that tells me a number in 30 seconds. Like, that's not that we don't do it for a reason, right? We don't do it because I would love to not spend 45 minutes analyzing a property when I could do it in 30 seconds. It just doesn't do it as good. I know that I'm going to have a much better success rate and a much closer analysis taking the time to look at everything individually, because we've analyzed thousands and thousands of properties, right? And so, you know, this is, we would love to talk a little bit more about numbers, but unfortunately that is not going to be one request that we are going to fulfill for you. And we will do our best to try to dive deeper into the analysis with stuff and some of the details that it takes to do that. But as far as just like blanket showing numbers and results and everything else, go to our success story page. A lot of those members do show a lot of their, and they are, it's, if they freely share it and we're not teeing them up for it, there's a lot of stuff on there and a lot of information on there. If you go to vodacy.com/success-stories or just go to vodacy.com and you'll see a tab that says success stories, click on it and go look at, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of people on there and properties and everything that you can look into and dive into and know that they're all outperforming the market by at a very high level. So we're going to wrap it up. Appreciate you guys joining us live. I promise we will not be 2 or 3 minutes late next week. That is our fault. And if we're going to do a live show, we're going to be on time. And that is my fault. And we'll make sure that we're ready for you. But appreciate you joining us live. Those of you that are just listening, as always, if you have more than 30 seconds and you have can leave us a review, give us a thumbs up. It's very, very helpful for us in the algorithm. If you have somebody else that would like to listen to these shows, our goal is to help people walk into this game with their eyes wide open, share the show. That is our ultimate goal as we have these conversations to really raise the bar, raise the game, and put ourselves all in a position to maximize our success in the short-term rental game. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode is pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, boys. I didn't even fill up my whiskey today. I need to fill that.
I did. I'm ready.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.